All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1,100 or 1,100 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, March 10th, and just a little bit late starting here in Honolulu. But this show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Or you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, absolutely thrilled to have you here with me today. And it's been a long time getting here to episode 1,100. And we finally made it. My goodness, better late than ever, right? But I want to, of course, give a very, very, very warm welcome to all of our longtime listeners and viewers of the show. I want to welcome you to the show today. And if you're brand new to the show, thanks for checking the show out for the very first time. I'm going to share a little background about the show. Not too much. We're not going to go too deep into the data because I always do a anniversary wrap-up, a yearly anniversary wrap-up in October. But I'll be happy to go down through the stack just a little bit today to kind of talk about where we've came from and where we've or where we have come from, where we are, and where we're going. But the main thing about today, and the thing that I want you to be, if you're brand new, I want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com, get over to the website, and get subscribed to the show. Either via if you're an iOS user, click on the iTunes link. If you're an Android user, click on the Android link on the right-hand column. And if you don't have a podcast app already, don't worry. We're going to take it to a site directly from that link that'll give you 11 options. Lots of free apps there so you can get your toe wet in podcasting. Or if you have a one-click subscribe on Android supported app already, it'll just pop up in your phone. If you're old school, you can get the show via email or just to grab the RSS feed and drop it into your favorite podcatcher. And if you don't know what I'm talking about at all, click on the more subscription options. That'll take you to a page. It'll explain how to get subscribed to the show. Partway down the page, you're going to find a link to the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter. And really, all the newsletter really is everything I talk about during the show and all the links I'll have up to date will be in that. That'll go out in an email blast. We don't spam you. We just send you the good stuff. And that's what we want you to make sure that you're subscribed so that you'll know when the show's been released, which, of course, comes out every Tuesday and Friday morning on the East Coast. I record the show Monday and Thursday nights in Hawaii. So definitely grab the, get hooked up with the newsletter, and that's one of the most important things about being connected with the show. You can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can reach me via email at geeknews@gmail.com as well. You can follow me on Google+, on Facebook, just search for Todd Cochran. You can watch the show on the Roku, on the Apple TV. Well, you can watch on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel. You can watch via the Apple TV. Just search for Geek News Central Video. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa, play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast. You can listen on Stitcher or on Blueberry.com. And, of course, we've got some great partner shows here that are part of the team, part of the Ohana, part of our big family. And I'll kind of go through those real quick. The Pro Gear site is really about, looking for pro gear, whether it be cameras, whether it be digital cameras, whether it be video cameras, whether it be microphones, you name it. We've got information on the Pro Gear site, progear.guru. We've got the new media show, which is Rob Greenlee and I do that show every Saturday morning that we're in our respective locations or whenever we have a good video link. We got Mr. Don Bain with the Gadget Professor on episode number 243. We've got Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis. So definitely check Jamie's show out. We've got the Elder Divide with Todd Ani. And we've got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. Definitely check their shows out. All part of the family here at GeekNewsCentral.com. Of course, all of our content today would not be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy's been with us really almost from the beginning, since July of 2005. And you guys really take care of me every month. We got our numbers back from GoDaddy for February. We were just, I wouldn't say soft. We're running even, and I want to kick it up a little bit. I want to bounce the numbers in March. So, you know, really what we want to do here is those of you that have yet to figure out whether or not you want to do a blog or you want to do a podcast or you want to create something for your sweetheart or your mom or your family. I've been getting a lot of feedback on the projects I've been talking about, these family history projects. And so this would be a great opportunity for those of you that want to start a family history project, a place to maybe have a private blog where you can collect those interviews from family members, those videos, and put them on really behind a password-protected site. And you can do all that at GoDaddy and more. So we want you to think about that as you're, you know, we get a lot of feedback from a lot of listeners of the show saying this is a great idea. I'm going to start doing that. Where am I going to put this stuff? And being that it's just going to be for family consumption initially, and maybe you want to make those videos public at some point, but you can have a website for them to reside at and have a couple of people helping you out with a project. It works out really well. So think about that for a project for to be hosted at GoDaddy. And we want you, of course, to save a lot of money with GoDaddy. And when you go over to geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy, there's a note that I have added to the page. And it says, before you leave, and in other words, these are people that land on this page, these promo codes keep my family fed, podcasts online, and writing team employed. We are not a promo code farm. You are supporting a small team of independent content creators by using one of our codes. You will support us in that effort. Thank you for your support. Share those codes with your friends. Subscribe to the podcast and get all the latest tech news as well for utilization of the GoDaddy promo codes. And there's, again, 30% off new product purchases, 99cent.coms. We've got $1 a month hosting accounts, whether it be website builder, economy hosting, or that manage WordPress. That manage WordPress is really slick. They really take the work out of having a WordPress site. They update it. They keep it locked down for you. Keep it backed up. So $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Again, $1 a month, $12, can't beat it. Now, definitely look at that price it's going to come to after that first year. But don't worry, there's economy hosting. There's the website builder where you can get a domain and Microsoft Outlook email address. There's really no excuse to get started with your own online website today. And whether it be a podcast or it be a blog or a family project, improving your business, starting a business, you name it, the friends at GoDaddy have it. As a matter of fact, today I had a little, we had forgot to turn auto-renew off on some SSL certificates. We didn't need the certificates anymore. They billed. I called the regular consumer number that people call for tech support and got a tech support person online. I said, hey, I had an SSL certificate to renew that I don't need. Can I cancel that and can I get a refund? And the rep is like, yep, we'll cancel that and refund it. And of course, he did his job to make sure, hey, you got some domains renewing. Do you want me to apply the credit towards your domains? And I said, no, I'll do that myself. But on and off the phone, maybe 3-4 minutes tops. My wait time in the queue was 2 minutes, maybe a minute to kind of click because I hadn't called in a long time. But they password authenticated me and made sure I was who I said I was, and it was almost like calling the credit card company. But when we got all done, it's just like, man, that was easy. And no hassle, no fuss. So, you know, and I don't have any special flag on my account because when I call the regular contact number, I'm just like you folks. But they really, you know, no issues whatsoever. So the customer service over there remains outstanding, and they'll help you with your business decisions as well, depending on what product you want. So don't forget me when you're considering starting a website or have a family or friend or people that you know at work, something to that effect. We want you to use GoDaddy. That's where we're going to keep the lights on here at Geekness Central at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Thanks to GoDaddy for being with me for about 1,025, maybe 30 shows, something to that effect. Yeah, about 1,025 maybe. And it's my appreciation to you as well for supporting GoDaddy all this time. All right, so let's just talk just a little bit here tonight, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this as I kind of promised on the last show, because wow, it's we go over this, you know, this and it's this is primarily for those of you that are new. Anyone that's been here since single or I know we have some single digit listeners still. I know we have for sure double. I got a Facebook message from a gal today that I think I've only heard from a couple of times in all the years that the show has been going on. And she tuned in today on Facebook and said, hey, congratulations for hitting 1,100 shows or the 1,100th TH show. Made me feel, you know, it's outstanding that someone's been here all these years. And if you, again, if today's your first day, you know, what a journey we've had, but you strap in, baby. We're going to go here. Okay. Got lots to do in the coming years, but, just think we're only 900 away from 2000, right? All right. So just some quick figures and facts. Really what this is. And if you think about my family, 1,100 evenings that my family have sacrificed while I sit right in this room doing this show. And actually more than that, going to CES and NAB and all the podcasting events and everything else is obviously a much higher number, but just the evenings alone with the door in the studio here shut, that's huge, you know, huge, huge, huge from a, you know, a commitment standpoint. And, we sacrifice a lot for doing, me being in the studio. Really walking kind of in here between 5:30 and 6 and doing the prep and starting at 8 p.m. Hawaiian to do this show. So, you know, big shout out to my family and thankful for their sacrifice and letting me do this. And now the kids are older and telling them, don't use the internet. You know, I got some heavy gamers in the house now. No using the internet while I'm doing the show. But, you know, probably around... at least 50,000 hours or more, maybe 55,000 hours producing the show. You know, it takes, you know, really by the time I get to, it's really about four and a half hours per episode. I've tightened it down over the years, but it's, you know, it's pretty common for me from go to a 6 to about 10 or 6 to about 11 every time that I do the show. But, you know, when it comes to you listening, you know, all of you have given me 72, at least 72 to 75 days of those who've been here from the beginning, 72 to 75 cumulative days listening to me just talk. And my God, how can you do it? Thank you, though. I appreciate it. So about 1,750 hours of content just in this show. We're not talking about the... all the other stuff that I've done, but, you know, over 29,000 of you have become GoDaddy customers, with over 85% of you renewing all these years. 29,000 of you, you know, that's the kind of the rough number. They become GoDaddy customers. And, you know, 170 some million total downloads of the show. You know, going to special media events like CES, NAB. You know, I've done about 1,000 to 1,200 interviews just in those scenarios, not including what's done at this show with a team that, you know, I think we last count we had about 260 around 260 interviews we did at CES 2016, And you know, you multiply that out, you know, 25 to 3,000 interviews between NAB and CES. So lots of content. And of course, you know, if I just look at Geek News Central by itself, really for about one of the team members said they've been writing now for me for 5 years. And I about croaked. And they said they had actually published 1,000 articles on their own on Geek News Central. So really from about 2003 to maybe about 2007-8, most of the content on the site was mine, solely mine. And then I think from about 2009, 2010 forward, you know, we've had a team of writers that, you know, put up content every day, you know, publish this, you know, this god-awful load of content that we create at CES. So there's a little over, I think I saw it on, I should have looked what the exact total was. And if I have a second here, I'll actually log in and see what the actual total number of blog posts are. Oh, come on, don't do that to me. All right, so let's look here and see what the total number is. So if I look at the, just on Geek News Central alone for total post, there are 13,328 blog posts on Geek News Central. So, you know, let's say about 4,000 of those, is that right? Would that be maybe close to 5,000 of those have video or audio content associated with them, with another, you know, 7,000, 7,500 or so that are purely written word content. And, you know, you guys can kind of do the math on that. So, you know, and the writers get paid, and everything that we do here is because of the sponsors and also because of the insiders that come in and support the show. So I really am very humbled that from the beginning of this grand adventure, it's just to me remarkable how events shape the way we kind of turn in this world. You know, in June of 2004, when I got hurt in Bahrain and ended up spending 13 days in the hospital with an L1 burst compression fracture with, you know, a massive amount of displacement. Lucky to, you know, as the doctor said, I was a 3%er because my spinal cord was pinched. I got the back side of the knife from a bone fragment, didn't get the forward side of the knife. So that was the difference between walking or rolling. And it was very, 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 very fortunate. Came back off of that and, you know, very, very quickly, you know, within 6 weeks or so, I was back to my work at my Navy job. And Navy doesn't like people sick. And I was wearing a body brace, and, you know, I was an air crew guy, supposed to be flying, and I couldn't fly anymore. I was desk bound forevermore. And you know, they said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "What do you want me to do?" And they sent me to Texas to babysit airplanes, be contract compliance, make sure your taxpayer dollars were being spent wisely. And was out there for a couple of months, and October of 2004, because it was so doggone hot in Texas, and I was wearing this, you know, clamshell body brace, not wanting to be out in the heat at all. You know, everywhere I went, I was kind of raised arms because this thing came up to my pits. You know, sitting in my room, you know, cruising the internet, and I found Scripting News, and I found scripting.com, and I found Dave Weiner and Adam Curry with the Daily Source Code, and that was it, man. It was hook, line, and sinker. You stuck a fish hook in me, and ever since then, they've been reeling me in. But you know, those first few episodes in Texas, and then coming back to Hawaii and telling my wife, "Honey," and her putting the finger in my face and saying I had 2 years to figure this thing out, and make some money, and you know, thank God for GoDaddy coming on the scene. You know, less than a year later, and then you know, the famous words from GoDaddy saying, "Do you have anyone else that you know want to?" Wants to advertise with us, and a business idea was born, and boom, off the races. And it's just been an amazing ride ever since. But, you know, and first and foremost, I keep going back, and as I'm talking to people about the podcasting space, it's really about you guys. It's about this Ohana. It's about the family that listens to this show. And, you know, we spend 12, 14, 15 minutes at every beginning of the show and just talk, or I do. I talk. And we don't talk tech the first 15 minutes. And that drives some people absolutely crazy. Well, guess what? This is the way this show's been for 1,100 episodes, and it hasn't, formula hasn't failed me yet. Now I'm not going to change anytime soon, because you're all so important to me that I feel as Ohana and his friends, we need a little time to catch up. Now, obviously, I always want to hear more from all of you, how you're doing, what you're doing, how your life's evolving, you know, how the show's growing or becoming more distant upon you. Anything, really. And you guys are always free to drop me a line at geeknews@gmail.com. Now, I know a lot of you ping me in Facebook and other places now that we're hanging out on social media, but the email, geeknews@gmail.com is really the place to, you know, always make sure my attention is focused where it needs to be. So, want to make sure to remind all of you that, but thank you. You know, to all of you that are listeners and viewers of the show, thank you for being here and being part of my family and letting us, you know, let me continue to do this in a way that is on my terms. And thank you for having a sponsor who has never once complained, talked about any of the ads on the show, anything. And, you know, we keep hitting our numbers, and that's the key. Obviously, you know, they're family too, but at the same time, I mean, we've got a business relationship I have to maintain. And man, there's no shows in the space that can say have had the same sponsor for you know, going on 11 plus years. So it's an amazing thing. It really, really is. And you helping by sharing those codes that we talked about earlier is key to all that. And it's been an amazing ride. They make the studio possible, the lights, everything. And I tell you, keep the lights on. They really, well, so the sun keeps the lights on now because I'm on solar. And my carbon offset, I give them back as much as I take. So really, maybe that's not the proper way to say it anymore. But the solar panels definitely required some cash to get on the roof in the first place. But it's been great. Thanks for being here through 1,100 episodes. Let's keep on cranking here. And I guess I'll stop being sentimental and we'll move into the regular content for the day. But on to October, right? 12 years. Can you believe that? Can you just believe it? Just a couple of programming notes. So there will be two full shows next week, and then I will be going on travel. Those of you that are Ohana, that are in the Albuquerque area, I will be in Albuquerque the whole week of the 21st of March. So I'll be getting into Albuquerque on Sunday and then flying out Saturday morning the 26th. I'm all there that whole week doing consulting. So a little extra cash coming in that week. And then I get back. I'm home the entire week of the 28th. But then I do fly out again. I'm going to the East Coast, going into New York and a variety of cities on the East Coast the week of April 4th. So there will be shows on a regular basis all the way up until April 4th. There probably will not be a show on that day because I'm flying in, and there'll definitely be a show on April 7th. But then I come back to Hawaii, and I have 1 week home, the 10th through the, not even a full week. I get home on the 9th, wash my clothes, turn around, then I fly out again on Wednesday the 13th. I go to Los Angeles for 3 days. And then I go to NAB the week of the 18th of April. So busy travel schedule here over the next month or more. So, I'll be taking the show on the road. There'll be no video when we're doing the show on the road, but lots to share, lots to talk about, exciting things happening in the space. And the most important thing, my phone is still ringing. And we're still staying busy at the company. Okay, let me bring up the tech news. That's what you're all really here for. And those of you that are tuning in tonight on YouTube, thank you so much for being here. And we're not on Blab tonight. We're just on YouTube, and we're doing the show kind of the old-fashioned way. But we're going to start off with an article that this is interesting. The FCC is proposing some new rules. And we're in an age today where we all have connectivity around the clock, and our information is going every which way. You know, think about what you do on a daily basis. I know how I am. In the morning, you know, I get up and run around here, roll out with my kids, take him to school, drop the one off at the bus so he can go into college. You know, I know where there's a Wi-Fi hotspot that's safe. Close to where I drop my kid off, I do get a quick email fix there. back on the road, back in the office, back into school later in the afternoon, you know, and always connected, right? So wherever we go online, we share information about ourselves. And, you know, I keep saying that Google and these companies know a lot more about us than probably our significant other. But this information can be used for just about everything. It helps target advertisements for products that we may or may not be interested in. It can paint a portrait of our family life, our health, our finances. And people pretty much know, based upon what you do online, what's going on with you. And we all know that social media that we join and the website we visit collect our personal information and use it for advertising purposes. And seldom do we stop to realize that our internet service provider, who is our main connection to all of this, is the one that is really collecting everything. They know where our packets go. They know what we consume. They know what our sexual orientation is. They know what our sexual fetishes are. They know what clothes we order, what type of shoes we buy. They know what kind of electronics we get. They know our sleeping habits. They know whether we're logging into medical. They know everything. Our ISPs handle all of our network traffic. And it has a broad view of a large amount of unencrypted information throughout the entire day. Even when the data is encrypted, a broadband provider can piece together significant amounts of information about you, the sites you go to. They really have this deep information. And that information is being used on us. The information collected by phone companies about your telephone usage has long been protected information. That's been very tight on that. So the regulations of the FCC limit your phone company's ability to repurpose and resell what it learns about your phone activity. And they feel the same should be true about the information collected by our internet service providers. So today, the FCC is proposing that they empower consumers to ensure they have control over how their information is used by their internet service provider. Every broadband consumer should have the right to know what information is being collected, how it's used. Every broadband consumer should have the right to choose how their information bits should be used and shared. And every consumer should be confident that the information is being securely protected. Now, they go on to say that is not to say network providers shouldn't be able to use information they collect, only that since it's your information, you decide whether they can do so at any point. This isn't about prohibition, he says. It's about permission. And under their proposal, under the FCC's proposal, ISPs would be able to use information about where you want to go on the internet in order to deliver broadband service you signed up for, just as phone companies can use phone numbers you dial to connect you to the calls. They would also be able to use customer information for the purpose that are consistent with customer expectation, for example, to market high-speed connections and to build further services. ISPs would be able to use and share customer information with their affiliates to market other communication-related services unless you opt out and ask them not to. All other uses of sharing your personal data would require your affirmative opt-in consent. We recognize that ISPs must necessarily collect and use information created by its service. However, consumers deserve to have safeguards in place to ensure that their information necessary to run the network is used only for that purpose. So on March 31st, they're going to have a vote to seek comment on this proposal. And I'm going to tell you, this is big. This is bigger than Google. Because the Comcast, Time Warners, Charters, and all the internet service providers of the world have an absolute unbelievable amount of personal information about you and your family. And if you're not on an HTTPS connection with someone, they can sniff that and sample it to their heart's content and collect and build data profiles on you. And if you don't think they haven't already, you're really fooling yourself. So I'm going to be big time in favor of this. I know they're going to scream, howl, and cry. They're going to say that they're going to have to charge us more because now they can't sell the data anymore. But I think this is big. I really, really do. So, you know, you can make a comment right now to Tom Wheeler, chairman of the FCC. And you can tweet him at Tom Wheeler FCC or visit the agency at FCC.gov or on Twitter at FCC. They're on Facebook and Instagram. You know, if you think this is good, give it a 2 thumbs up. Let him know how you feel. And if every one of you did that, then maybe they'll add some fuel to the fire in getting some of this online privacy issues under control. All right, the big monster. We're going to change gears here completely here. The big monster, Amazon, made national news today. They were down for about 15 minutes. Couldn't take orders. Had a little bit of data center issues. So I don't know if any of you noticed or even cared, but it did make the news. And I actually should have had this next article with the last one. And this is an article over at the Washington Post. And the title of it is, Surprise! NSA data will be routinely, Surprise! NSA data will soon routinely be used for domestic policing that has nothing to do with national security. A while back, we noted a report, and this is on, again on the Washington Post, showing the sneak and peek provision of the Patriot Act. Well, it's been announced that via the New York Times, that the data from the NSA will be shared with other intelligence agencies like the FBI without first applying any screens for privacy. The ACLU of Massachusetts blog Privacy SOS explains why this is important. What does this rule change mean for you? In short, domestic law enforcement, again, NSA is not domestic, right? It's a national security agency. The FBI is domestic, all right? In short, domestic law enforcement officials now have access to huge troves of American communications obtained without warrants that they can use to put people in cages. FBI agents don't need to have any national security-related reason to plug your name, email address, phone number, or other selector into the NSA's gargantuan data trove. They can simply poke around in your private information in the course of a totally routine investigation. And if they find something that suggests, say, involvement in illegal drug activity, they can send that information to local or state police. That means information that the NSA collects for the purpose of so-called national security will be used by police to lock up ordinary Americans for routine crimes, and we don't have to guess who's going to suffer this unconstitutional indignity the most brutally. It'll be the black, brown, poor, immigrant, Muslim, and dissident Americans. The same people are always targeted by law enforcement for extra special attention. Now, that's what the ACLU of Massachusetts says. Now, This is on the Washington Post. And I'm only going on what they say here, okay? So, but it supposedly, according to the Washington Post, this basically formalized what was already happening under the radar. Apparently, we've, according to the Washington Post, we've known for years that the DEA and IRS were getting information from the NSA. Because that information was taken without a warrant, the agencies were instructed to engage in parallel construction and explain to courts and defense attorneys how the information had been obtained. If you think parallel construction just sounds like a bureaucratically sterilized way of saying big stinking lie, well, you wouldn't be alone. It certainly isn't the only time that national security apparatus has left law enforcement agencies benefit from policies that are supposed to be reserved for terrorism. So it's a pretty tough article. So I read a lot of this Washington Post article. Again, I'll let you form your own opinions on this. But it is kind of an interesting move here. I thought they weren't like, I thought they said they were, that collection stuff was done. It doesn't look like it, right? So anyway, very, very interesting. Anyway, link is up in the show notes to be able to check it out on your own. Let's see here. What else? Okay. March 21st is going to be an Apple event. Now, what's interesting about this March 21st date is it's the day before its big encryption fight. So after months of rumors, the company announced today that its product keynote will come March 21st, just one day before the company defends itself against government efforts to break security on a phone linked to the San Bernardino attacks. Did they change their schedule, or was it just a coincidence? And, you know, really what's going on here is the line between politics and marketing is not as clear as it seems. So what will be curious on March 21st is if Tim Cook stays to a non-politics slash court type discussions in any of their presentations. But based upon the PR machine at Apple being in overtime, this is an interesting move. Now, the FBI and its allies have portrayed the company's privacy position as nothing more than a marketing act. But as two Brookings experts put it, Apple is selling a phone, not civil liberties. Of course, Apple and nearly all civil liberty groups disagree. As some of the political opponents can attest, the line between politics and marketing is not as clear as it seems sometimes. So, anyway, on the 21st, they'll be having their big to-do that they do all the time. And the Apple invite says, "Let us loop you in," whatever that may mean. So, could this mean that Apple's launching a Hyperloop? I don't think so. But two products are widely expected to be unveiled at the event. The first is a successor to the 9.7-inch iPad Air 2. And the second is a smaller 4-inch iPhone that will replace the iPhone 5S as Apple's most affordable entry-level phone. There may be a new generation Apple Watch, some software updates to Apple TV, and iOS have been in beta. So we'll see what develops here at the show. But there is one supposed picture that's out on the space right now that is making the rounds that is from a pretty consistent leaker that says that the iPad Pro case shows off a smart connector port. So that's a just a little bit of a So we'll see where this goes. But I would not be surprised if that is actually the case and what it looks like. But anyway, we've got about 11 days before that event, so we'll probably be hearing a lot more. All right, how many of you do a lot of printing at home? Got kids doing a lot of homework, a lot of stuff like that? So there's three fonts you should use instead of Arial to save printer ink. You should use Times New Roman. Consider Calibri, C-A-L-I-B-R-I, and don't forget Century Gothic, but Arial seems to be use about 27% more ink. All right. So, on those really not important documents, if you can use Time Roman, you're going to save ink on your printer. All right. Just a little bit of a tipper there. The Verge folks has a great video, and I don't think it came out as good as it could have, but it's a review of the DJI Phantom 4, and oh, anyone? Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. Any of you want to buy my Phantom 3? Make me an offer. I can't refuse. So you got a Phantom 3, 4 batteries, some extra propellers. What else? Got a hood for it. What else is there? A fast charger, so you can charge all 4 batteries at the same time. Make me an offer I can't refuse for my Phantom 3, including its, I even throw in the shipping case that came with it, all right, that I bought separately. All told, well, you guys do the math, and make me an offer I can't refuse. So low hours on it. If you want a Phantom 3, make me an offer, geeknews@gmail.com. But anyway, the folks at... You don't want to buy this Phantom 4. I'm just telling you. You guys don't want to buy it. Buy my Phantom 3. Don't go out and buy the Phantom 4. But the Phantom 4 is pretty doggone awesome, and I keep seeing all the stuff it does and the cool flying features that it has. Oh my goodness! They have done a great job in this new version. Watch the video, and they made the Phantom 4 so smart, even a 3-year-old can fly it with a little help from Dad. All right. On a little more serious note, the Internet Address Keepers, the ICANN, has voted, and the proposal crafted over the course of 2 years, with input from business, academia, governments, and others, was endorsed at a board meeting in Morocco of the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN. And now it has to go to U.S., and they have to make the approval. And they probably will. But they've been working on this for a while, but I don't think the users got everything out of this. And I think that the board of directors at ICANN... got pretty much everything they wanted. It just, they wore everyone down, and there was some, considerations, but for the most part, the board got what they wanted. I don't know. It's not going to affect how users interact online, but it will turn over the technical supervision of online addressing to ICANN itself, with a system of checks and balances, so no single entity can exert control over the internet, according to the officials involved in the process. The online address system managed by ICANN is currently overseen by the National Telecommunications and Information, NTIA, and the U.S. Department of Commerce. So we'll see where this goes. So if the government approves a plan, the contract between ICANN and the U.S. government will expire on September 30th, as planned. So do you think it's going to make a difference for the rest of you? I don't know. I think it could have ramifications in the rest of the world. Time will tell. Hey, MIT, there's a lot of smart people that go to MIT. A lot of big brains come out of there. But MIT has found a way to speed up web browsing by 34%. It's called Polaris. For those of you that are the IT guy, the dude, I'm definitely going to want to check out this write-up from MIT and how they're able to do some server-side stuff and some new protocols to speed up the web. So web's pretty speedy right now, but a 34% increase is huge. According to Roden Show over at CNET.com, Michael Horn, the CEO and president of Volkswagen Group of America, has stepped down. Horn has been the chief of VW Affairs since January 2014, and since Dieselgate broke last September, he's basically been the face of the brand, and he is getting out of town. In a statement, Volkswagen claims that Horn's departure was through mutual agreement, although it declined to go into deeper specifics during his time in the U.S. Michael Horn built up a strong relationship with their national dealer body, but more importantly, he got some close attention by the federal government. But there is going to be, they're going to look for a replacement. But Michael Horn, Volkswagen of America CEO, is out of here, probably because he didn't make their deadline. But that was global Volkswagen, I guess. All right, this next article should make all of us pause and say, why? Why are we doing this? So some scientists at the Universidad de Chile, headed by Jaol Botello, genetically manipulated chickens so that they would grow up with legs like dinosaurs. Yes, they did this. Now, no pictures yet. They apparently did not notice the major premise of, you know, the latest Jurassic Park, of course. But this is not even the crazy part. The crazy part is that to do this, researchers didn't insert genes from any organism. They just silenced a gene the chicken already had. Now, they didn't build a chicken that looks like someone just cut and pasted a leathery green raptor leg onto it, but it's close enough for government work. You see, chickens have a detached and diminished fibula. It's a tiny pin-like, not a confidence bone that we hate in chicken legs, that, you know, that skinny one. Suppressing one of the genes responsible for the difference between raptors and chickens in this case, it's a gene called the Indian hedgehog, which is important bone development, resulting in a chicken that developed a full-length tumor fibula connected at the ankle without that little bone. Okay. You know, they gonna keep those chickens from getting out? What do you guys think about this? That's the question that we have to ask here. Now, dinosaurs, which are the ancestors of chickens, supposedly, or maybe the other way around. But, you know, this is the second time these guys did this. So, maybe they're doing some experiments for one of these chicken restaurants or something that they say, hey, let's make a new chicken wing or chicken leg or something. Oh, my God. What is the story with these folks? This weirds me out a little bit, and I think it should all of you, too. All right, you guys know I love Roku. We were apps number 13, 14, and 15 on the Roku. Woo-hoo! Now there's over, like, what, 3,000? The 4K Roku TV starts shipping, but the screens are relatively small, 43-inch. Best Buy's Insignia brand will be the first to offer 4K Ultra HD with a 43-inch TV for $400 and a 50-inch set for $500. Both models are available to purchase from BestBuy.com with in-store pickup this week and home deliveries early next week. Insignia will also sell a 55-inch version for $650, but Best Buy hasn't given a release date of that model. Of course, Roku first announced its 4K TVs in January, specifically calling out TCL as one of its partners. Those sets will come in 43, 50, 55, and 65-inch flavors. The Roku TV software is similar to that of its standalone streaming boxes, such as the 4K Roku 4. The main difference is that users can switch to cable box game or game console. So, you know, I think I'm going to stick with the Roku box. I don't want a TV I'm going to have for a while that it may not have a clear upgrade path from a software standpoint after a little while. I think I'm going to stay with the regular 4K TV or with a regular TV. Apple, how many of you close your background apps like every day and did that to save power? Well, in a report published on 9 to 5 Mac, we learned that an iPhone user recently emailed Tim Cook asking if frequently quitting iOS apps from the multitask pane is necessary to ensure optimal battery life. Well, he didn't respond, but one of the engineers did. And this may come as a surprise to most of us. For whatever reason, since Apple added multitask support to the iPhone with iOS 4, we all know it became common practice for people to open up the multitasking pane and close those applications. Turns out those application images on the phones are just that, images. They're static images intended to represent a list of your most recently used applications. It sure looks like where I left off when I see those things. And I swear myself too, you closing some of those apps saves power. And when I notice that the battery's trickling down, what is the first thing I do? Double click, flip, 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 flip to close all the apps, right? We all do that. I said, no, that doesn't make a difference. I find that hard to believe. But according to the Apple engineer, we've all been fooled for a while. So leave 100 of those tabs open. Don't close any of them. last year when Comet C2013A1 sighting spring swung past the red planet, actually in 2014, it was a pretty big opportunity for scientists and the armada of Mars robots and basically satellites. Apparently, what's coming out now, what's being reported by Discovery.com, is that this comet just raised havoc on the Mars magnetic field and stripped away atmosphere, and it just did all kinds of crazy things. Scientists called it mayhem, and it likened it to the effects of a magnetic curtain flapping in the wind. So a little old comet with its own magnetic field did some serious shaking of the magnetic core there. Should say core, magnetic field. All right. Little science fact for you. Some dude on a subway in Chicago was using a jammer and a cell phone jammer, shutting down cell phone calls. He was arrested after some blogger caught him using it. So this is the second time this guy's been caught. So we'll see what they do with him. He has been charged. He will be going to court. How many of you wear an emergency medical bracelet for something like diabetes or seizures or some sort of medical condition? How many of you wear a bracelet that has that emergency information on it? Just let you know that the Android N can show your emergency information on your lock screen. So if you aren't wearing dog tags or medic alert bracelets, you can on the Android N be able to put your emergency information on that you would normally have in a band I still think for first responders that a medic alert bracelet or dog tag is a very, very fast way for them to get an idea if you have some sort of condition. I don't know if I want them digging for my phone. And, you know, they have to know to take your phone and have a look. But maybe it's another place you can put it in case, just in case. Maybe the dust has settled a little bit and, you know, maybe you're under cardiac arrest and they, you know, get your pockets clear and they see this and they see you've got something going on. Who knows? But I would think that it can't hurt to have it there in addition to wearing a bracelet. Great interview on Engadget with one of NASA's Curiosity rover engineers. This gentleman, Adam Stelzner, is kind of got an Elvis type of hairdo and kind of is a little bit of an Elvis lookalike. But this guy's one smart engineer, and he's great. Gives a great interview. If you want to get kind of excited on a science stand front, definitely check this interview out. I have it linked up in the show notes, of course. The first engine to power the SLS rocket roars to life on Mississippi test stand. So this is good. So as NASA builds the new rocket for the Space Launch System, someone's printing in here right now. My son must be doing his homework. We'll see how many pages it prints. But anyway, it relies on some older technologies, including space shuttle reusable engines. And before the new rocket flies, the older engines must be test-fired to ensure they still function properly. On Thursday, they happened for their first time with one of the engines that will be used on the SLS maiden flight. The engine number 2059 fired for 500 seconds on a test stand. So that's cool. And not been used since 2011 with powered space shuttle Endeavour to orbit. So kicking the tires a little bit and making sure that everything's operating well. Very, very cool. What do you do to get a rocket ready? Hasn't been run since 2011. What do? You go out there with the scrub brush and you wipe it down and, you know, make sure there's no rust and, you know, check the valve fittings and that stuff. You know, what do you really do? It's like, hey, Harry, go out in the boneyard and get me an engine. You know, makes you go, I'm sure just like any other government agency, they've got some sort of a way, or they probably have some treatment that they do to this stuff to keep corrosion from setting in and so forth. But yeah, go get me one. Let's pull one off the line. Let's do a test fire. All right, feds respond to Apple, and they actually said Apple is being a baby. The Department of Justice responded to Apple in an ongoing court battle over what Apple must do to help the FBI to unlock an iPhone. And the response is a 43-page document with an argument that can be summarized as Apple is being a baby. They couldn't have said that for real. Please tell me, Gizmodo, that you kind of injected there. So, I don't want to read the document. I'm sure none of you want to either. But Senator Burr and Senator Feinstein, once again, are threatening new bill to backdoor encryption. Now, the president isn't going to sign it, but they've been promising it for months now without actually doing something. So, again, the two top members of the Senate Intelligence Committee insist that they're finally ready to release their anti-encryption bill. Feinstein told The Hill that she passed a text along earlier this week to White House Chief of Staff Dennis McDonnell. My hope is, since I was the one that gave it to him, they will take a look at it and let us know what they think. Oh, she says the president's administration will determine the bill's timing. The direction depends on how fast the White House gets back to us. So the administration has actually indicated it does not support such a bill. So we will see where this goes. But Senator Dianne Feinstein and Senator Richard Burr, if they are in your states, one from California. Where is Senator Burr from? I'm not, to be honest with you, I don't know what state he's from. Give him a little call. Let him know what you think. But more interesting is that the NSA doesn't support the FBI in the San Bernardino iPhone case. And that alone makes you go, why don't they want to support the FBI? Makes you go, Now, there's some scuttlebutt out there on why. And those of you that don't know what scuttlebutt is, you can Google that. That's a Navy slang term. Kind of an old school one. But the scuttlebutt out is, there's a reason. And it is covered in this article. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. But the government is also claiming that the San Bernardino shooter had disabled iCloud backup. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but that is some of the argument, whatever the reason. Now, in something more interesting, how many of you live near Rye Brook, New York? There is a dam, D-A-M, close to you. It's called the Bowman Avenue Dam. Apparently, the facility's locked up, but the cellular modem used for its controls wasn't. In 2013, someone gained access to the operations center for the Bowman Avenue Dam, a small flood control dam on Blind Brook in Rye Brook, New York. The attackers were later identified in a classified Department of Homeland Security report as being the same Iranian group alleged to have been responsible for the attacks on PNC Financial Services Group, SunTrust, and Capital One. Okay, I guess this document was released or declassified, but the attack was made public in December by the Wall Street Journal. According to a CNN report, the U.S. Department of Justice preparing to file an indictment against those Iranians believed to be behind the intrusion. They did call the intrusion an attack. The controls of the dam were not accessed, according to the government officials cited anonymously by CNN, and only back office systems were penetrated. Now, think about this. Not a big dam, flood control dam. But usually, when there is a lot of rain and flooding, there will be an announcement made that they're going to open up the spillways to make sure that those downrange are not affected. And I don't know if there was water behind these spillways or not, but what if they had opened them? You know, that, just like power, grids being accessed and so forth, spillways on dams being open when they're not supposed to be. Could do more damage. It may not kill anybody, but let's say it's responsible for water, for a community, irrigation. Who knows? There's a lot of reason for dams. I don't think open a spillway is a smart thing when they're not supposed to be open. Have you been in an Apple store lately and seen that the Genius Bar is missing? Well, it appears that Apple's getting rid of the Genius Bar. And still, you're going to have Genius chairs. You're going to have to sit down with a Genius person in a chair and have a discussion. What if you bring in your laptop? You're going to have to sit on your lap or put it on the Genius's lap? What's up with Apple and getting rid of the Genius Bar? You're going to be able to go up there and sit down and be comfortable instead of sitting down in a stool. You know, aesthetics and functionality, you know, aesthetics is one thing, functionality is another. But, you know, I guess I'm not the marketing genius they are. So that's what they're going to be doing. If you need an appointment with the Genius Bar soon, you go in, it won't be the Genius Bar. It'll be a Genius stool you can sit on. And no, it will not have a dunce cap. Nest. I logged into my camera tonight. Just did a little check on it. But I had noticed an email that had come in today. But now Nest can use your phone to tell you when you've left the house. So Nest products are get a better way of telling when you're out of the house and when you're back at home. An update to the Nest iOS and Android app will allow to start monitoring your phone's location. When it sees you leaving the house, it'll be able to set Nest thermostat to its away mode. When it sees you coming back, it'll be able to start warming things up. Again, it'll also be able to do some things with your camera from home or away. Lots of cool little features here. And better, and it's basically about making the devices smarter. But you do have to give Nest permission to let you know basically where you're at. And you have to tell Nest where your device is, where it's physically located, which if they ever get hacked would probably be a big security issue. All right, I've got a buddy. He keeps prodding me. When are you going to buy the Tesla? When are you going to buy the Tesla? And I keep telling him, I can't afford a Tesla. I can't afford a Tesla. I would love to have a Tesla, but I really can't afford a Tesla. If I had that kind of money, I would go back and buy another house in the mainland. You know, for $80,000 to $120,000, I can buy another house in many states across the country. Many, many, many. Or even a trailer or a double wide. That's, you know, with some land. I'm not buying a Tesla. I would love to have a Tesla, but I am not in the economic bracket to be able to buy one. Someday, maybe I'll be able to buy a used one, like a 10 or 15-year-old Tesla. Maybe we'll be able to do it then. But if you're a race fan, the new electric GT Racing Series is going to feature the Tesla Model S, beginning in 2017 for its first-ever seven-race season. And yes, they're going to be using the older Model S. It's more suited to racing than the newer P90. If you recall, the P85 touts 310 kilowatts of power alongside 443 pound-feet of torque. It also offers 85 kilowatt hours energy more storage than the current Formula E car. So they're going to be able to probably go to a lot more miles than what they're getting in the current E-Series racing. So pretty exciting stuff. So we'll see what happens next year. Wouldn't want to be the one driving one and wreck it, that's for sure. Okay, this is kind of funny. Eric Schmidt was out and about, and guess what he got caught in his hand taking a picture of something? He got caught using an iPhone instead of a Google Android headset. Naughty, 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 naughty. You shouldn't have got caught with the camera. And they show him using an iPhone. Now, it looks like, what model is it? You know, here's one of the richest guys in the world, and he can afford whatever he wants. Why is he using an iPhone? Now, he was on the Apple Board of Directors that he had resigned from in 2009, but the dude is, he's from Google. This has got to make you Android users mad. The stock of Google just went down. Just went down. Oh, man. All right. How many of you have a problem plugging in your MacBook, you know, your transformer? Well, a simple angled plug just fixed everything wrong with Apple's MacBook power adapter. And if you have room, if you don't have room behind your, look at this. Look at this little adapter. Someone designed a little adapter that allows you to mount your transformer to the wall flat instead of straight in. Now, why couldn't have Apple come up with that? That is just like, okay, smart, $20. Yeah, give me your money. Why didn't Apple think of that? Come on. Someone was asleep at the design wheel. Oh, you guys are going to love this one. I am a horrible speller, right? I have to use like a spelling check 5 times and then I get the grammar wrong and it's there or were aware. And I'm always screwing that up. It's just, you know, it's just me. Okay. And sometimes it's pure laziness because I'm typing so fast and no excuse. I just, you know, I make that mistake all the time. So spelling's important. You need to pay attention to your spelling if you want to get in life. You need the spellings to be on point when you're trying to hack into a bank to steal hundreds of millions of dollars. Group of hackers found out the hard way when they missed out on a chance to steal as much as $800 million because of sloppy spelling. The group of hackers was able to hack into servers at the Bangladesh Bank, and they managed to steal $81 million by flooding the Federal Reserve Bank in New York with requests for transfers to companies based in Sri Lanka and the Philippines. Now, they did some early transfers and got the money out. So then they sent requests for 13 additional transfers. And if they'd spelled everything correctly, and if the transfer had been approved, they would have stolen more than $800 million. Now, what do you think they spelled wrong? They spelled the word foundation wrong. They spelled it foundation instead of foundation. And that came in and was actually the Federal Reserve said, oh, that, how come they spelled that wrong? Maybe we ought to call the Bangladesh Bank and see if they're asking to transfer this $800 million. Well, they spelled it wrong and it got flagged. So if you're going to be hacking the bank, make sure you spell check your bank transfers, okay? Oh, crazy. All right. Hey, Skype for Windows has been updated. Be aware of that. You'll be getting an update. Waze 4.0 for Android has been launched. Sony made a big announcement saying the Oculus Rift is more powerful than the PlayStation VR. Wow. Huge statement. Speaking in an interview, the Sony's PlayStation executive president, Masaya Ito, said, if you just talk about the high-end quality, yes, I would admit that Oculus may have better VR. However, Ito also pointed out that the Oculus Rift will need a powerful machine to be used alongside it, which in turn could add to the cost. However, it requires very expensive and very fast PC. But the PlayStation VR work on PlayStation. So interesting admission by the PlayStation folks. You have a Blu-ray in your computer? Most people don't. Sony's introduced a new system that will use optical Blu-ray technology for long-term storage. Sony's created something called Everspan. It's a collection of optical drives that can store up to 181 petabytes of data. The system can expand 55 feet in length and have hundreds of Blu-ray-like drives. So, wow. Interesting. 181 petabyte. And they say the storage will be good for 30 years. And at some point, they'll be able to increase the capacity of the drives that hold over 1 terabyte each. And you should not be surprised. There's emergency software update for Flash available. So make sure that you're updating your Flash player. I mean, they should just get rid of the Flash player completely. All right, that's going to bring us here to close to the end of the show. And I actually doing okay on time, which is fantastic. And those of you that have joined me tonight on live.geeknewscentral.com, I want to thank you so very, very much for being here and watching the 1100th show, 1100. And no special things going on the show, just a regular show tonight, except for what we talked about at the beginning. And if you guys have any commentary about today's show, definitely like to hear from you for sure. Geeknews@gmail.com is definitely the email address to use. That's the primary location to reach out and touch me. What is going on here? IMAP login failed. Did I change a password somewhere? Okay. Who is it trying to log into? Oh, I'll have to enter a new password. I screwed that up. All right, cool. Meanwhile, it doesn't want to let me check email. So let's go over here to the other browser window where I have full access and see what we've got for commentary today. We're good. No email. All right. So we're at a wrap here. Please support GoDaddy, my show sponsor. It is greatly appreciated when you do. Allows me to continue to do what I do here best. And gives me lots of options. And for all of you that are insiders that are supporting the show with a $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 monthly donation, I greatly appreciate your ongoing support. Thank you so very much. Your donations today are covering a couple of months of blogging for the blogging team. So that's fantastic. I definitely appreciate your ongoing contributions to the show and your long-term support of having faith in me and bringing you great entertainment and at the same time giving you great information with my little spin on things. But for all the insiders, all of you that are contributing to the show monthly, really thank you from the bottom of my heart. For all the volunteers that have been with the show, given lots of inputs, Sam and all the other folks, huge thanks throughout the years, and have a lot of great warriors that are part of this Ohana, and I want to thank you so very much for being part of the family and everything that you've contributed. Sometimes I feel guilty that I'm not giving enough back to you guys, and gals, but I hope I'm doing my best to deliver you a great show twice a week. And even though I take some breaks now, as compared to being hardcore in the very beginning in the first like 500 or 600 shows, in order to sustain and be able to continue the show long term, there are times that when I'm on travel, I just need to take the time off. And I hope that you all understand that. And to be in this thing and be able to shoot for 20 years, it's sometimes you just need a break here and there. And I appreciate your ongoing support, and it's good that we're still making the sponsor numbers. That's the main thing, even with the show down here and there. But, that's 1100. It's in the bag. We'll see you in the next go-around. Everyone take care. We'll see you Monday here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.